I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will get the stories behind the stories, the truth behind the headlines, and as one story today, some of the missing headlines, things you won't even hear about, will be brought up on this show. The lying mainstream media and the ridiculous two-party propaganda is broken down here daily. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers out there, people who do not worship parties or politicians. We treat politicians here like children, not like our parents, like employees, not like deities. And I've got a story today, something that took place yesterday, another one of these bipartisan efforts to stop a bill from emerging for a vote in the Senate that I've seen basically nobody reporting, at least in any meaningful way, but it should be a huge outrage to particularly the people of Mississippi, as our elected leaders were on the wrong side of this vote. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. I wanted to mention today is the 30th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre. And I have a special remembrance of this. I'll explain in just a second. I guess an admiration for a player in the Tiananmen Square massacre, somebody who stood up against it. If you don't know what the Tiananmen Square incident was, this is the 30th anniversary, so many people weren't alive or weren't paying attention back then, but hundreds of civilians were killed by the 200,000-strong People's Liberation Army in a brutal crackdown on student pro-democracy protests that sent shockwaves around the world. The military had been called in after Deng Xiaoping's governing Communist Party of China declared martial law in the capital. You know, and this tells you a little bit about the communist Chinese system as well. We buy a lot of products from them, but we need to always remember that these are brutal communist governments. They were seeking to end 6 weeks of a nationwide demonstration. 1 million Chinese youth had occupied the famous landmark. That's the other thing when you hear these stories about what goes on in China. It's always stunning the number of people. They got 1 million people there, and it's easy for them. They've got 1.3 billion over there. Hard for us to even grasp that they are well over three times the size of the United States when it comes to population. 1 million Chinese youth had occupied the famous landmark to stage hunger strikes and call for an end to state corruption, greater transparency, and increased civil liberties following the death of reform-minded party leader Hu Yaobang on the 15th of April. The demonstrations in Tiananmen Square were proving an embarrassment to the Chinese government ahead of the visit of Soviet Premier Mikhail Gorbachev, whose arrival would put China into the global media spotlight, hence the sudden urgency to clear the streets. And, you know, we know how this works. They don't want to be embarrassed, so they just go in. And they had to try to sweep up 1 million student protesters. After initially trying to use nonviolent methods to disperse the demonstrators and then telling them that they had 1 hour in which to leave, members of the 27th Group Army opened fire on the crowd with automatic rifles just 5 minutes later. Snipers rained down bullets from rooftops. Troops bayoneted the injured, and armored personnel carriers rolled in, many of which ran over students who had linked arm to form human chains. And this was widely reported at the time. The bodies were cleared away by bulldozers for incineration, and blood was hosed into the gutters. The wounded were raced to hospitals in bicycle rickshaws. China officially recorded the number of dead as no more than 300, while the Chinese Red Cross on the ground said it was more like 2,700. But Sir Alan Donald, Britain's ambassador to China at the time, said the death toll was much higher. And I've seen every kind of statistic from 10,000 down to headline today said maybe 1,000 people. But this shows what totalitarianism brings to you guys on the leftist who want state control of everything. You think that the socialism is just a workers' paradise, and if we can just give this government enough control, they'll solve all of our problems. This is the road you're headed down. You will fall out of favor at some point with your all-powerful government, and these are the way that tyrannies crop up. Now, I have this very attachment to the Tiananmen Square, what I'm all constantly reminded, because I have a poster of the man standing in front of the tank. Have you seen this? It's an iconic image of the, he was a 19-year-old, I don't think I got his name down here, 19-year-old, it's kind of a mystery is exactly what happened to him, but it's a 19-year-old kid that was out there carrying grocery bags. And he said enough is enough, and during this time as the Chinese military rolled tanks in, he walked out and stood in front of a tank. It's incredibly dramatic footage because it shows him, not only does he walk straight in the path, I believe there are four tanks rolling through Tiananmen Square. He stands in their way, and when they try to go around him, he moves over to get back in their way again. One guy against the Chinese military. One person standing up to an incredible amount of power that had already been used in deadly ways. And to me, this is so iconic and so important as an image, because most people stand by because they're scared of being an individual and they're more interested in belonging to a tribe or being part of a party or whatever. We don't want to be individuals in this country anymore. We want to be on a team. We want to fight the other team, but people, and this is why I implore people to begin to start some level of independent thought, that you do not need to rely on MSNBC for your talking points or Fox News for your talking points, to actually exercise that brain that God gave you and become an individual and stand against what's going on. And the story I'm going to bring you in just a second is one of these times we should stand against what's going on in Washington. That one guy standing up against that tank, I'll tell you right now, I don't think I would have had the courage or maybe even the thought to have done this. I would have been on the sidelines watching these tanks roll through my town after slaughtering thousands of my fellow protesters. But this guy stood up to it, and I find it to be an inspiration. As I say, I've got the poster. Now look at it, and I think all the time, you know, there's just one person standing up against things can have a tremendous difference. Now, he didn't stop communism, but that image has been important to a lot of people. And at least at that moment in time, he found his footing and he got in front of those tanks. And he made a statement that said, I'm not going to be just another one of the 1.3 billion people oppressed by this government. This show every day, while not nearly as courageous as this man standing in front of the tank, I will not be one of 328 million people that gets divided into the two camps and parrots partisan hyperpartisan talking points. I won't be that guy. Maybe it's that poster that inspires me. When I come back, though, I'm going to get into this. Something happened yesterday that I don't see anybody really talking about, but it should outrage everybody. And for you Mississippi voters, I don't want to hear you complain anymore about what's happening in Washington, D.C., because you keep making this bed, so you need to lie in it. You need to own this, or you need to take some action. I'll get to it when I come back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
It coming on the 30th anniversary of Tiananmen Square and having such admiration, really enjoying and drawing a lot of inspiration from the iconic image of the one man standing up against the tank. What has happened to the American people is not only do we not stand up to the tank, we actually run out there and fuel it up if it starts to break down. If it's on our team, we actually do not disrupt. You know, I had so much faith going into the 2016 elections. We saw the rise of the Tea Party. We saw the rise of Occupy. I saw on both sides of the aisle. And you need both sides to be ticked off at the establishment to affect any change. And so many people saw, I think the financial crisis brought out a lot, and people really saw how screwed up things were here, and they'd finally had enough. And you saw Occupy rise, and you saw the Tea Party rise. And I said, finally, people are waking up. And then I watched the Tea Party get absorbed into the Republican Party and the Occupy movement get absorbed into the Democratic Party. And then we were right back to status quo. But the people weren't done. They saw Donald Trump out of 17 Republicans. All this is this hodgepodge of establishment characters outside of Rand Paul. And Donald Trump dispatched with him, and I said, in 2016, I said, holy cow, look at that. The people are throwing away the old guard. They're sick of this establishment. But now the American people have sat back down and they think, well, we just cheer Trump. He'll take care of it all. We don't have to do anything else. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a second with some of the things that Mississippi has done in the last year as far as their voting stuff goes. You know, I listen to the Michael Savage show every day, and I disagree with him on several issues. I don't know what the split would be. Maybe 30% of what he says, and some of it really pretty vigorously disagree with him on some things. But he's the closest thing out there on the national level that's an actually independent person. He's not beholden to party or whatever, and I admire that. Because, again, it goes back to this Tiananmen Square, the one guy against the tank. This is Michael Savage will stand up against the machine, and he'll call it out. Because so many people just want to... They just want to listen to Sean Hannity and think that they're getting the news, and they're just getting spun. And ditto on the left. Look, you think Rachel Maddow is shooting you straight and she's an independent journalist or any of them on MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS. And so I listened to Michael Savage. I mean, there's some talk show host out there. I've never listened to him, never will, named Buck Sexton. He's a conservative talk show host. He's former CIA. Will you give me a break? Let me just guess. I've never listened to Buck Sexton. I've seen him on Fox News quite often. He's a former CIA guy. I bet he's really, really telling us how dangerous the Iranians are and how we need to continue to support the Saudi bombings in Yemen. Let me just go out on a limb and say the guy's a warmonger because he's designed to bring the conservatives, who used to be anti-interventionalist, anti-world police, he's there to bring the conservatives into the war party. But Michael Savage will go out there and do his own thing because here's the deal. I think what Michael Savage realizes, now he has his borders, language, and culture as his mantra, and I think that is, he's right. That's a large part of what Donald Trump was elected on, and Michael Savage, I think, has been saying that for maybe 20 years. I know 15 years, probably. But what he points out and what we need to understand, and it's going to be highlighted by the story I'm going to do next, is that we long ago lost control of our government. Now, you see what happens in the Chinese with the Tiananmen Square stuff when you really lose control over it, when it becomes so big and so oppressive and so militarized that it becomes a tool of complete control over society. And just think about the fact that you've got a Chinese government that can control 1.3 billion people, and they've been doing it for a while. Before facial recognition, before tracking and tracing everybody. And they're using these tools now with the social credit score, which I really need to do a show on because I see those kinds of things being rolled out in the United States. But they've been able to suppress and control 1.3 billion people. That's a powerful government, a powerful evil government. But our government has been taken away from us a long time ago. This did not just happen with Barack Obama, to all you hyper-partisans out there who believe that Barack Obama is destroying this country. As I said, I'd have to go back 100 years to take you through exactly as we've seen this slipping away and tell you why the greatest generation, the baby boomers and the Gen Xers, failed on the job. We didn't stand up to the tank. We just refueled it because it was our tank. It's our guys. Yeah, they're oppressive. Yeah, they're doing the wrong things, but we got to win. It was our team. Our government was taken away by politicians who twisted public service into self-service, into party, into re-election. And that's nothing new. Politicians have always been like that. As soon as you get to Washington, D.C., I don't know what the percentage is, but a large percent of them love the trappings of power and the wealth that they see that they will be able to accrue by public service. Our government was taken over a long time, as Eisenhower warned us back in the 50s, but by the war machine. Hundreds of thousands of our kids are killed or wounded to give the warmongers their profits and fulfill their goals for power and for wealth, but they wrap it so effectively in this patriotic wrapper that the American people don't stand in the way of this war machine that's putting our kids to the meat grinder. Instead, they wrap it in this patriotic wrapper, and they trick us. They get the profits, and we pay the human and the financial tab for these things. Our government was taken over by bankers and the financial machine that skims off the top and leaves the rest of us the bill. You know, we allowed the financial ruin of this country. We stood by when they just removed the gold standard in 1971. There was a good article about that yesterday. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole and talk about it, but in 1971, Nixon temporarily, you know what they say, there's nothing more permanent than a temporary government program. They temporarily took us off the gold standard, and that removed the handcuffs, any restraint whatsoever on our Congress for spending money, because now they can just print it. They just print it. There's nothing backing it. There's no constraints on their spending, to get to the story I'll do in just a second. Of course, it was temporary, but now that was 1971, and we're still there. But we stood by and watched that happen. We did nothing about it. We didn't stand in front of that tank. The three-letter agencies, particularly on the conservative side, we just fell in love for years and years with all of our three-letter agencies because they scared the crap out of us, and we're not brave enough to stand in front of the tank. We're not brave enough to accept there's risks in this world. We decided to give away our civil liberties, just completely abdicate the Fourth Amendment, because they scared us, and we just want daddy to make all the bad guys go away. And we gave away those civil liberties. And instead of reining them in at any point, when somebody comes out and calls attention to them like Snowden or Assange, we call for their head. I mean, it's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, particularly from conservatives who are supposed to be for small, limited government and holding our representatives accountable. But no, Republicans come across Fox News and tell you that Assange is a traitor and he should be hung, he should be shot, and you go, yeah. And as I say, I had such hope in the 2016 election that we would wake up to this, and we did. We finally rebelled against this establishment system. We stood in front of the tank of the establishment for a year, and now we're going right back where we were before. Now the new wars are good wars. Now the new debt is okay. We don't pay attention to that because our team's in charge. All of those things that we railed against in 2016 are back with a vengeance in many cases. The swamp is not drained. The wall is not built. The debt is not paid off. There is not peace. We are not exiting the Middle East. But now it's okay. Donald Trump will handle it all if we just sit back and wait. In that second term, after those midterms, we hear these things all the time. When I come back, though, this is the story that should outrage you. I'm going to show you just how bad this is. And this should spur some activity from Mississippi voters, but it won't. I know it won't. Because we have a history here of electing rhinos out of fear for possibly allowing a Democrat to get in there. And I understand that fear. Trust me. I don't want to see a Democratic senator from Mississippi. I don't want the Democrats getting more control on Capitol Hill. But is it possible? Is there any way that the Mississippi voters, or voters of any state for that matter, who vote for these establishment players that the party handpicks, packages up real nice, and hands to you, and you applaud them? Yay, a fine conservative Christian man or woman, whatever it is. Is there any way to walk and chew gum at the same time? Is it possible to elect the Republicans and then actually hold them accountable to anything? Is that even possible? It appears not. I don't know why. It seems like, as I say, the show treats politicians like employees, where most places treat politicians like deities. They need to be treated like children. Instead, we treat them like our parents, and we just wait for them to kiss our boo-boos and make everything better. And then we complain about it. That's the most bizarre thing. Well, Mississippi, you cannot complain anymore about Washington, D.C. spending. If you voted for Cindy Hyde-Smith or Roger Wicker in the last election cycle, you need to sit down and shut up and let the rest of us take control from here on. I'll show you why in just a second. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that you love. All right, here's so another story here on the Mike Madison Show that will get very little coverage probably in the national media. And it certainly won't be told to you by the partisans at any of the networks or the talking heads out there that want you to cheerlead just one party or the other. There was a bipartisan effort yesterday to block a bill from coming to a vote at the Senate. And I think it's something people should know about. Now, I am not under, as a libertarian, see, I kind of explain this often, so I apologize for repeating myself. I'm a libertarian because I realize nobody out there, certainly not a politician, is capable of running my life. They have a terrible track record. They've made a mess of damn near everything they've touched. And so I realized that the insanity of trying to continually pick this conveyor belt of politicians and giving them more and more power for more and more government is a fool's errand. It's ridiculous. It's not working. Libertarians want to strip that government back down to its constitutional limits. But you're told that the libertarians, they're the insane ones. They're the radical ones. That's right. We are the radical ones. If you don't think we need radical change at this point, then you're probably pretty alone. But I'm not under the illusion that the Congress or offices around the country are going to turn to the Libertarian Party and we're going to start seeing an upsurge of third-party libertarianism. But for goodness sakes, boy, you need to start looking for it in your Republicans. Because they're the only ones really doing anything. Now, you're mad at Justin Amash. I understand that. But when you stop and think about the fact, as I reported the other day, that Justin Amash has got 100% rating from things like FreedomWorks, that he is so serious about budget issues and actually walking the walk, not just talking the talk like we get in here in Mississippi. He was so adamant about not growing the government and reining in the debt and ending the endless borrowing of money that the Republicans took him off the House Budget Committee. They just took him off of it because he would not play the game that the Republicans play. And here's the game. They come here to Mississippi to your Rotary Club or to your church, or they make their speech at Neshoba County and everybody lines up and drools over them and pats them on the back and takes a selfie with them as they tell you, we're going to take this government back. We need fiscal responsibility. And then they'll tell you, here's one of the most beautiful ones. We're for a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. Everyone's, woo! You know why they tell you that, dummy? Because they know it will never happen. That's a huge hurdle. To get a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. So they tell you that because they think you're stupid. And I got to tell you, I understand why they think that, to be honest with you. Because they've peddled this stuff to us for decades. And we lap it up. But here's what's really happening. Rand Paul, the libertarian son of Ron Paul, He's not as good as Ron Paul, but he's one of the best the Senate's got to offer right now. Rand Paul has introduced something called the Penny Plan. Have you ever heard of this? Probably not. Most of you have not, because it doesn't get a lot of attention. Because the gatekeepers at Fox News don't want you to know too much about this. Yeah, they'll do a story every now and then. And Fox News will breathlessly report the deficits and the debts, and they'll come on and talk about how this is just crazy, the amount of money we're spending. But then they prop up the politicians that are actually spending it. And they tell the Republicans that all of our debt problems are Barack Obama's fault. And all the Democrats will tell everybody that all these problems are the Republicans' fault. And just like dutiful, young, well-behaved children, and we buy it all. We just lap it in. So here's what actually happened yesterday. Rand Paul introduced the Penny Plan again. He introduced it last year. And let me tell you what the Penny Plan is. And you just tell me if you think this is just radical libertarianism that is just crazy to even be considered. Because your Republican senators from Mississippi thought this was no good. Listen to what Rand Paul's plan is. Again, this is the second year in a row he's introduced this and it's gone nowhere. Rand Paul's proposal called for cutting 2% from all federal line items for each of the next 5 years and would reduce federal spending by about $11 trillion over the next decade, even though spending would rise after the first 5 years. It's an adaptation of the so-called Penny Plan that Paul has been pushing for several years, though now he says an additional penny in cuts for every federal dollar spent is necessary to get the budget to balance. See, he did this last year, and it was only one penny. But because they keep waiting, now it has to be 2% cuts. Indeed, the gap between what the federal government spends and what it takes in is growing. During the first 7 months of the current fiscal year, which began in October 2018, the federal government ran a $531 billion deficit. That's a 38% increase over the same period of time last year. According to an analysis from Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, about 60% of this year's expected deficit is a result of policies. Mostly last year's huge increase in spending that shattered those Obama-era budget caps put in place by current legislators and signed by the current president. Busted through caps from Obama. And I talked about this yesterday when these emails circulate around that Obama destroyed our economy. Look what happened under Barack Obama. He destroyed our economy. As I said, I'd have to go back to 100 years to actually explain to you what's happened to our economy. Barack Obama was as bad as they come, but you can't lay that at his feet. You're playing right into this two-party partisan red-blue. Blame them. Blame them. We're like a bunch of children. Rand Paul proposed taking a vote to the Senate floor about a 2% budget cut over the next 5 years. 2%. It was voted down. 21 senators voted with him, yay. The rest of the Republicans and all of the Democrats voted nay. How did Mississippi reps vote on this bill? How did those fine conservative legislators that we send up to Washington, D.C. like a conveyor belt of establishment pieces of, how did they vote? Cindy Hyde-Smith was not voting. I guess that's a present vote. Maybe she didn't want to be seen as voting against a 2% federal spending cut, so she just didn't do anything. What a courageous stance, Cindy Hyde-Smith. Gosh golly, it's a good thing we sent you up there. Really making a difference for us here in Mississippi and for our kids and our grandkids who are going to inherit this debt. Roger Wicker, at least he had the stones to just come out and vote no. Roger Wicker could not stomach to see a 2%. Am I saying this clearly enough to you? I want to make sure nobody's hearing 12 or 20 or 22 or anything like that. 2, as in 1-2. A 2% reduction in federal spending. Roger Wicker said no. Now, of course he can, because he's got 5.5 more years. And us sheeple out here will not even think about this. We'll complain about the spending the whole way. Yeah, but if he just does a couple of campaign ads where he says he's supporting Donald Trump, that's all we need. That's all we need to keep us in the flock. 2%. Last year it would have been 1%, but they couldn't do it last year either. And I would imagine if I looked up the vote, find it very hard to believe that Cindy Hyde Smith or Roger Wicker took a courageous stance on that and were able to even vote for a 1% decrease. See, your government's gone. It's gone. Now, you may skate through life. How old are you? 45, 55, 65, 75, 85? You may make it. You may make it out. But Cindy Hyde Smith, Roger Wicker, and the rest of the Republicans voted against this, and it was the majority of Republicans in the Senate that voted against a 2% budget cut for the federal government. Two. The rest of them are just sticking the knives in the backs of our children and our grandchildren. But if they go on TV and support Donald Trump, you don't care. See, you're going to make it out of here before this bill really comes due, particularly if you're probably my age or older. You'll probably make it. Not without some pain. You're going to see some problems. But, I mean, the real fall of this country, much like the fall of the Soviet Union, where we just have a complete and utter financial collapse, the Federal Reserve note, this fiat currency that we've allowed to be our monetary system for so long, completely collapses into Venezuela-style stuff. You may make it. And I would imagine for most of us selfish Americans, that's all we really care about. It's like the wars. We don't care as long as it's not our kids that's going and fighting, dying half a world away. We're happy to play the team game and get on our party's side when they tell us we need to take a hard line with Iran. Because, I mean, seriously, it's not my kids that are going to go over there and fight and die. And it's not me that's going to be, going to inherit a financially bankrupted country. It's not me. I'll tell you who it's going to be. It's going to be my kids. They're 18. By the time they're really heading towards prime earning years where they should be comfortably sliding into middle or upper class, I expect good things for my kids. But just as they're having kids and trying to really have a nice, solid home, it'll be over for them. And most people will line up next time Cindy Hyde Smith's up for re-election. They'll vote for her because they're told to. Because some of the stations that I compete with, I call them WGOP, they'll tell you, we got to get out there and vote for these fine conservatives. And they'll have them on the air, and they'll pat each other on the back, and they'll bring them to your Rotary Club, and you'll celebrate them and cheer for them and take selfies with them. It's pathetic. Pathetic. 2% cut. The Senate could not see its way to. And for that email that's going around that shows Obama, this Gateway Pundit story that tells you that Obama destroyed our country. I wonder if they'll name off the, 29, 30 Republicans that voted against this 2% cut? Maybe 31 Republicans voted against it? Cindy Hyde Smith voting, not voting, present. She couldn't see her way to support a 2% cut in federal spending. Roger Wicker at least had the stones to just look at the American, the kids and our grandkids and future generations yet unborn. At least he had the stones to just flip them off right to their face. Because he knows he can't put any constraints on the money he's got to dole out to special interests. He knows he's got to pander to the people with telling you that $1 trillion a year on the military makes some kind of sense. I mean, it's not rational. It's insane. It's led to the destruction of empires long before us. But he'll somehow convince you because we're so easily led. 2%, Rand Paul's penny plan, voted down by all the Democrats. You kind of expect that. They want big government, right? They're the tax and spend Democrats. And the Republicans are the tax cut and spend Republicans, I guess. They still want this big, giant federal government with no constraints on their spending ability. And it just makes me sick when I see stuff like this because I'm going to hear Mississippians talking about the debt. They're going to be talking about how Obama, look what Obama did. Look at the food stamps under Obama. Like you actually care. Like you actually care about spending. No, you care about spending when it's convenient to your party beliefs. When it's Republican spending, eh, it's okay. We don't care. I'll make it through. I'm not really that close to my grandkids anyway. They're kind of snotty kids. They're running through my house knocking stuff over. They deserve this debt. They deserve a financially crippled economy. I got one grandson just sits around and plays video games all the time. Let him clean this mess up. I mean, essentially, that's what we're saying. I don't know what makes me more angry than to watch people be complicit in this stuff. Because it's not an ideological issue. And see, they try to convince you that it is. They send around this gateway pundit story that tells you Obama's the problem with our economy. Obama's the problem with the debt. George Bush doubled the debt, and then Barack Obama doubled the debt. Now, if Donald Trump continues what he's doing right now under Donald Trump, the debt will be doubled again. That'll be an inconvenient fact for a lot of us out here, won't it? But we'll figure out a way to blame somebody else. Well, the Democrats got control in 2018, and they took over the House, and that's why the debt, you know, we're going to play the same partisan game. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
I am.
Hey.
I just had a question. What else was in the bill for them to say no to? I mean, because there's always something else in there.
It's a pretty simple thing. This was actually just a vote to bring this out of committee and get a vote on the Senate floor. So they weren't voting actually on the bill. They were just wanting it. Rand Paul was just trying to get it out of committee and get a vote for it on the Senate floor. So this was not, you know, if they had any objections to anything in it, they would have had an option to vote it out again later, you know, vote it down later. He just couldn't even get it to the floor of the Senate. Now, you can look through this thing, but the bottom line is, what are they doing to control spending anywhere? We, as I just read, we've busted through even the horrible spending of last year. And these same Republicans will come out and tell you it's time for an adult conversation on spending. It's platitudes, and they do exactly the opposite when they get up there, and I don't know why we continue to support it.
I totally agree with you. Look, I appreciate it. I was just wondering what else was in there.
Yeah, no, this was just trying to get it to the floor. I mean, they will not even allow this kind of stuff to be voted on because they do. The bottom line is they can wail about whatever. They do not want any constraints on what they spend because that's how they get reelected. They pick all of our pockets all year long, and they take that big juicy pile of cash and they dole it out to special interests, and that's their gravy train, and they don't want it interrupted. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Got to run to a break.
Back.
I'll be right back. Stay with me. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I spend so much time on spending issues and these kinds of things. Number one, because it's not ideological, it's mathematical. Do you understand that it's not this is not a philosophical thing where, you know, one person might be right and one person, it's just different kinds of views. I mean, I think the vast number of Americans, even the most diehard liberals, understand that you cannot sustain a country. Maybe some of the dumbest on the left. I take that back. There's a lot of dummies on the left. They're talking about this modern monetary theory where deficits don't matter. You just print stuff up. Of course, Dick Cheney said deficits don't matter. Wasn't he the one that famously said that? But this, I feel like this should be an easy issue for people. But apparently it's not. It's not, because we've been voting for the same people. Here's the kicker in the story talking about Rand Paul's, the Republicans not allowing Rand Paul's penny plan to come up for a vote. Cindy Hyde-Smith not voting on it. And Roger Wicker giving the middle finger to our grandchildren and children yet unborn, voting no against this, at least allowing this to the Senate floor for a vote. Where is this? Oh, here it is. It was in a Hill story that I have pulled up here. Here's the kicker, kind of the punchline of this. The vote comes as top members of congressional leadership in the White House are trying to work out a deal to lift budget caps on anyone, defense and non-defense spending by October 1st to prevent across-the-board budget cuts known as sequestration. See, sequestration, it's even funny to me. Conservatives in particular came out and talked about Barack Obama destroying the U.S. military. We got to rebuild the military because of those disastrous sequestration cuts. You do understand that even under sequestration, we were spending over three times what China spends, and they've got three times as many people as we do, and we're spending about 12 times what Russia was spending on military. But the propaganda was that sequestration, oh, it was just one of the worst things to ever happen. Sequestration means spending less money, just a tiny bit of restraint on government spending. But the propaganda was, oh, that just almost obliterated our military. They just couldn't get by on $620 billion or whatever it was. They need $750 billion. And we cheer. Yeah. I mean, this is a mathematical thing. It just seems to me this should be one of the easier things that people could understand to kind of break this conditioning of this hyper-partisanship where, or at the very least, as I say, keep Republicans in Congress, but primary their butts out. Roger Wicker and Cindy Hyde-Smith should be on notice that if you keep voting for budget-busting bills that saddle our grandchildren with nation-wrecking debt, you're out.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. You want to join the show today, you can call in 601-879-0002. Today is Tuesday. I want to remind everybody, Tuesday nights, great time to get to Naturally You in Ridgeland. Between 6:15 and 7 o'clock every Tuesday, they do just an informational workshop where they show you exactly how they use nutrition through whole food supplementation to address chronic health issues that you've got. And it runs the gamut. If you go to their website, naturallyyou.fit, take a look at their testimonials. You got thyroid problems, you got mood problems, you got energy problems, you're overweight, you're constantly getting sick, up to more serious things that people lug around with them and just thinking, oh, I'm just getting older. I guess this is just life. That's what I thought back in my mid-30s. I had all these little nagging stomach problems, constant headaches, energy issues, insomnia, restless leg. I got bronchitis and the flu every year, and I thought, oh, man, getting old is just brutal. And then I started treating my body with nutrition, giving my body what it actually needed, and I haven't had a sick day now in 14, almost 15 years now. Not one single day. Not a cold, not a sniffle, not a flu, not a nothing, no flu shots, no nothing, because my body is getting what it needs on a daily basis. Naturally You teaches you how to do this, and they make it simple for you. Now, you can spend all of the tremendous time I did before I even heard about Naturally You researching all of these topics and trying to go out and buy your own supplements and track down the quality of each one. Because let me tell you, if you're going to the big box store and you're buying the store brand supplements, you're throwing your money down drain. The amount of effect you're getting is, seriously, just don't do anything. rather than do that. At least you have the money in your pocket. Naturally U uses whole food supplementation, real supplements from real food to make you feel better. Anyway, from 6:15 to 7 o'clock every Tuesday night, they do this seminar. You can call them 601-790-2790, 601-790-2790, or visit them online at naturallyu.fit, naturallyu.fit. Jordan Townsend, one of their practitioners there, will be on the show not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. We're going to be talking about digestive issues. I've just read some things and seen some things and heard some things recently and realized that, I mean, by and large, I just told Jordan, I said, seems like everybody has got digestion issues. And it's, of course, because we're eating absolute garbage like goats in this country at this point. The food has gotten so bad and there's so many additives and so many chemicals and everything else, and we're just stunned. We don't understand. So we're going to talk about digestive issues probably for the whole show next week. So if you've got stomach problems or somebody you love has stomach problems, that'd be a good show to tune into. And I'm thrilled to death with the success that Natural U has had, because it shows if I can't wake you up on federal spending, if I can't wake you up on this endless war machine that you've been convinced is patriotic to support, if I can't wake people up on everything else, it seems like a lot of people are waking up on health topics. They are finally realizing that the pharmacological approach to a pill for every ill and combating only symptoms and never getting to the root cause of something, people are finally waking up to it, because the health statistics in this country have gotten so abysmal that people are looking for a different path. They're finally getting out of this helplessness and taking control. If you want to go to that thing any Tuesday night, they do this every Tuesday night. If you want to go tonight and hear how they work with you, and if you've got kids, man, golly, I wish I'd known about Naturally U when I was raising my kids and they were young. Give them a call and tell them that you want to come, because these little seminars that they give on Tuesday nights get pretty busy, and they don't have a ton of space for people, but they get dozens of people in there for these things. Dozens of awakening people. Nothing could make me happier. All right, I don't know exactly where to go next, to be honest with you. I get so fired up about this spending issue because, as I say, it's simple. And it almost feels to me like if I cannot get people on the same page with the spending, if we can't at least draw a line in the sand, because how much waste, fraud, and abuse goes through Washington, D.C.? I mean, I would imagine anybody listening to this, just you don't have a figure for it, but you just went, a lot. There's a story today that I had, actually. Here's just one, it's one story. I probably won't spend the time on it. I've got a lot of notes on this, but I probably won't spend the time on it. But to just prove a point here, in a federal lawsuit, the tech giant Oracle has provided new details to support its accusation that Amazon secretly negotiated a job offer with a then Department of Defense official who helped shape the procurement process for a massive federal contract for which Amazon was a key bidder. Amazon Web Services and Microsoft are now the two finalists to win the highly contested $10 billion contract for what's known as the Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure, or, I love it, I love these acronyms, because they just, they have so much fun with these things. JEDI. The deal, one of the largest federal contracts in U.S. history, would pay one company to provide cloud computing services and support of Defense Department operations around the world. That's right, around the world. Because we've been convinced that we need to have 800 military bases around the world, because the whole world hates us, and we're just sitting here minding our own business, not doing much of anything, but just enjoying our democracy. And yet the forces of evil around the world are constantly lining up against us. It's just a coincidence, I guess, that there are massive profits made on this around-the-world deployment of our troops. It's funny and aggravating at the same time that when talking to a conservative audience, it's like most people get the spending stuff and they go, yeah, and they point to the welfare queen sitting on the couch. Federal government needs to stop all this spending, cut off all these welfare from all these deadbeats sitting around, a bunch of welfare queens watching Jerry Springer all day and getting a government check for $600. We need to end that. Rein in this spending. I'm with you. Welfare state is nothing but just a tool of entrapment. Society needs to take care of its own through private means and family support and those kinds of things that America used to rely on instead of Uncle Sugar up there. But the conservative audience that wants to get the welfare queen, get her off the couch, and I'm with you there, they also want to boost defense spending by $50, $100 billion a year to make sure we can combat a terrorist behind every tree, because you've been propagandized into believe that we're just this white hat cowboy just sitting around minding our own business, the beacon of freedom for the entire world. And they just keep attacking us. It's North Korea. I've actually got, you know, this may lead me into something else. There's a very interesting piece by Paul Craig Roberts, who was, used to be the, I believe he was the editor for the Wall Street Journal at one point, but he served in the Reagan administration in the Office of Budget. He might have been the budget director for the Reagan administration. He does a contrast between a couple of commencement speeches. One's with JFK in 1960s, and then one was Mike Pence's a couple of weeks ago, where Mike Pence guaranteed West Point graduates they will see combat. And that's how far we've gone on the conservative side to somehow swell with pride when we tell our young West Point graduates, oh, we'll have a war for you. He goes off and lists all the different spots around the world where these cadets may be sent. And somehow this appeals to conservative voters now? That we're going to send these kids off to war? He didn't do at the commencement speech, hey, thanks for defending our country. You've achieved great things. You're graduating from West Point. Boy, isn't it great that we've got this proficient group of just stellar young men and women to keep our country safe. No, that's not enough. What we've got to do is ship them around the world to so-called spread democracy. And so the spending side's easy when you talk about welfare queens, but then people don't understand that massive military buildups, like the Founding Fathers warned us about, like Eisenhower warned us about, like Kennedy warned us about, these massive military buildups are not good for the health of the country. Because you've been convinced through constant propaganda and constant lobbyists coming across Fox News to tell you that we're always at imminent risk of losing our country to Iran or North Korea or Libya or now Venezuela. I love the phrase, they're right in our backyard. Venezuela is a failed socialist state that can't get oil out of their own backyard. Literally, it's their backyard. They cannot process oil. Now, some of that has to do with the crushing U.S. sanctions over the last few years that has just destroyed their economy. We were complicit in their fall, but they would have fallen anyway without us. Socialism never works. Yet we are led to believe that if we don't handle them right now, they're an existential threat to the United States, and we must commit billions of dollars of intervention aid and maybe some troops on the ground in Venezuela. And Trump supporters, because his administration is pushing this, I don't think Trump's supporting it. To be honest with you, he's been very silent about it, pretty much. I don't think he's down with this, but Mike Pence has been trying to run that coup in Venezuela. And so then he goes to West Point and he tells those graduates, you may even serve in our own hemisphere. We know what he means. He means, with any luck, I'll get my coup going down there. I'll finally have my own little war. And I will sacrifice some of you fine cadets out here. I can guarantee you I'll give you a war. It's just very interesting to listen to the dichotomy between JFK talking about peace and Mike Pence talking about war. I've also got a clip I found during the break of Donald Trump talking about how he's going to pay off the debt. Is there any accountability for that whatsoever anymore? Or no, we can't because of Mueller. Well, Mike, I know. I mean, he said things about the debt, but, you know, he was attacked by the left and the Mueller thing and Russiagate, and now we just need to fight back against the deep. You know, we can't do both at the same time. We can't say, hey, Donald Trump, we love you. We love you. We wish you the best. Man, you're killing it in certain fronts, but hey, stop saddling our grandkids and great-grandkids with monster debt. We can't do both of those things. See, that's the hyperpartisan world. You got to be all in or all out. On the left, you got to be all out on Donald Trump. Donald Trump can get criminal justice reform out there that helps a bunch of people of color that have been railroaded by this, particularly the war on drugs, the criminal justice system, and they still can find a problem with that. They still hate him. Now, on the Republican side, we elected a guy who said I'll play the clip in just a second. He was going to pay off the debt. Not anymore. Apparently, we need more debt, and that's okay, because, again, the hyperpartisanship means you're either all in or all out. You can't question anything he does. You can't question any policies because you're a traitor. It's mass mind control. And as I say, I spend a lot of time on the spending because it seems to be an easy thing. It seems to be something most everybody can understand. And I would hope that even soccer moms understand. And I don't mean that derogatorily. I mean a soccer mom's just not engaged in politics, and I don't blame you. But anybody that's not just very at the fringes of paying attention to what goes on in Washington, D.C. and in politics anyway, you've got to see that $22 trillion debt figure. You've got to see that $1.3 trillion we added last year. You've got to see this story where they won't cut the federal budget by 2%. You've got to see these statistics that say we are busting even Obama debt levels within the first 7 months of the last fiscal year. And you've got to know there's a problem here and that we should not be accepting this. Even if you're barely paying attention, you've got to be able to have a couple of brain cells. And I guarantee you, Democrats are probably all about the spending now. They will cheer what I'm saying right now. Listen to him. Yeah, he's talking about Trump spending. Yeah, y'all blamed Obama for all this spending. And now look at Donald Trump. He's doing all that spending. But Democrats never have any fiscal responsibility either. I mean, we gave up on you. I wouldn't even, on a leftist show, they probably don't even talk about spending because they don't care. I mean, you've got candidates running right now openly under the socialist banner. There's not a lot of fiscal responsibility in socialism. I don't know if you've noticed, but it bankrupts the country about as fast as anything. Ask Sweden right now as they did their little experiment, their little jog to the left in socialism, and are experiencing the problems with that right now. But for the right, for conservatives, for Republicans, seriously, you can't demand from Cindy Hyde Smith, Roger Wicker, and Donald Trump that they stop this. Because you're, afraid of being a traitor? I started out this whole show talking about that one guy in Tiananmen Square, 19-year-old kid with grocery bags in his hand. He stands in front of a tank. I'm surprised and don't really know why they didn't just run him over. They were slaughtering people in Tiananmen Square that day. They tried to go around him, and he moved again. This is one guy with more courage than tens of millions of voters in the United States right now. One guy, a 19-year-old Chinese kid, stood up to the Chinese army. And we've got about 60 million Republican voters that cannot stand up to 29 senators in Washington, D.C. and demand that they allow the penny plan to even get to the floor of the Senate. Do you not see how maddening this is to realize we lost this fighting spirit, this individuality, and we gave it up to be on a team, to support a deity in office, to support a party that must take on the other party, and we're locked in this mortal conflict, Mike. We can't hold our side accountable. They would deliver if we just gave them more money and more votes. I've been hearing that for 30 years. And they had a chance yesterday to just allow a vote that would cut the federal government by 2% a year for 5 years. And then, even in Rand Paul's plan, government spending could go back up again. 5 years of 2% cuts per year. And 29 Republican senators said, no, that's a bridge too far for us. That should be a wake-up call to a lot of Americans. Unfortunately, it probably won't be. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, I'm going to change. I'll change topics to something a little bit more light and airy, stuff that we can process. We like our surface stuff, don't we? I think if Facebook tells us anything, we really like the easy stuff. We do.
This is a weird thing. This is definitely not a sports show. I enjoy watching the college football game probably just about as much as anybody. Maybe not some. But I don't know who got picked, what graduating class, who got drafted where. I don't pay attention to that stuff because that's not where my interest is. Not a problem if that's what you do. I don't play fantasy football. I don't know enough about it. But I really enjoy sports as an entertainment thing and as a relaxation thing. Has anybody been watching the Stanley Cup? I watch no hockey all year. I guess it's on occasionally. I don't know. I'm never considered myself a real hockey fan, but I've watched a couple of games in the Stanley Cup recently. And I got to tell you, that is a man's sport. I played soccer growing up. White kid on the smaller side, going to Jackson Public Schools. Soccer was my friend. I really liked basketball, but that wasn't happening for me at Murrah High School in 1985. Some of the guys that were coming up behind me ended up going into the NBA. Well, it wasn't going to happen for me. So I played soccer since I was a little kid. Really enjoyed it. I played some indoor soccer when that started coming around in Jackson. And what indoor soccer is it's a smaller, it's basically a hockey rink that's got AstroTurf on it. And you play off the walls and you play a 5-on-5. And I got to tell you, it was, now by the time I started playing this, it was my late 20s, early 30s. It was just exhausting because you're with a 5-on-5 and a small thing like that where the ball is going off the walls, you know, it's constant action. You're constantly sprinting. I am watching these guys on these skates. I just have to comment on it. I mean, it is just the kind of athlete it takes. If you watch these games, these Stanley Cup games, these guys are pretty much in full-on sprint the entire time they're on the ice. Now, I know they come in and go out, but let me assure you, from my limited experience with indoor soccer, I was probably the worst. I remember when I came back out there after some bit of a layoff and some of the guys I played with said, oh, you need to come out and play some indoor with us. And I thought, sure, I'll run out there and play a little game. I played a lot of soccer in my life. I'd get out there for about a minute and a half and be screaming, sub, sub. I didn't give any of my other teammates much of a rest as many times I had to come out. But I appreciate the cardiovascular effort that they're putting out there. It's constant full-on sprint. They've got about 25 or 30 pounds of gear on, and they're being pummeled constantly. I mean, there is no, I don't even really, I'm not particularly sure about what the rules in hockey are. I know you can't trip somebody with a stick. You can't slash them. You can't hit them in the face with a hockey stick. But outside of that, I mean, it doesn't seem to be much in the way of rules. This is full contact, full speed, on hard ice for 60 minutes. And it kind of cracks me up because I'm watching this and just really having this level of respect for the athleticism of these guys. Not to mention the fact that the goal of this whole thing is to take this tiny little puck and with a stick try to work it down through everybody, down the ice, and get it into what is a pretty small net that a goalie fills the large part of the net. Sometimes you look at the goalie sitting in front of these nets in these hockey games, and you just think, well, that's not really fair. I mean, the guy's taking up almost the entire net. They'll never get a puck in there. But the puck is small, and these guys are incredibly talented at how to place the puck. So it's full on, with 30 pounds of gear on, full speed, on hard ice, getting body checked and basically assaulted if you're anywhere near the puck. Heaven forbid you're standing next to a wall when you have the puck in your possession, because you're going to be hit violently, and then you try to get this puck down there. And I just started kind of thinking, and this is no disrespect meant to anybody who plays these other sports, but it just kind of cracks me up. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I thought, I mean, I watch these guys in these hockey teams, you know, many of them missing a tooth. I guess that's like a rite of passage. You know, it's cliche that, you know, a hockey player's missing it, but they all are. Look at them on the sidelines. And I guess they could get them replaced, but they don't because they might just pop out again later. So they get their little bridges and stuff. It's funny to see them. I'm just saying, this is a man's sport. Now, women, I'm sure, play hockey, but when I'm watching the NHL, I'm like, this is a testosterone-laid sport. Football, okay, some big hits, a lot of athleticism in football. But you sprint for about, 10 to 15 seconds, and then you take a four-minute break in football. You may or may not get hit. I mean, the lines, believe me, it takes an athlete to play professional football. But I'm watching these guys, and I was talking to somebody the other day, and I thought, at the same time, I'd switched over the other morning just to have something on in the background while I was working around the house. I clicked on the French Open. Hey, look, great respect for Roger Federer and the guys who have been dominating the tennis world. But they stand still, and they've got a little fuzzy white ball that they throw in the air, and everybody has to be shh, shh, shh. You're supposed to be quiet while they hit this ball back and forth, back and forth. They go out there with their shorts and the sunshine, and they hit this. And trust me, I promise you, I'm not being derogatory to anybody that plays tennis. Tennis is a great sport. It's fun. It's athletic. But the comparison between tennis and what I watch in these Stanley Cup games, hockey, is almost funny to me. And then I think about golf. I mean, I watch these guys go full speed with 30 pounds of gear on, being violently assaulted as they go down the ice, trying to control this puck that just flies with a stick. You ever watch these guys? What the essential, the like basketball dribbling, you know, they got to go stick side to side to side to side to side to control the puck going down there. They're trying to control this thing while being assaulted full speed on ice, wearing 30 pounds of gear to try to get it into this tiny little hole in a net down there. And then I look at the PGA. Great respect for anybody who conquers the game of golf. It's incredibly frustrating. I've played some golf in my time, and I never got good at it. I never did. I didn't have the patience for it or the time. So if you're a good golfer and you enjoy golf, God love you, because what a great hobby. You get to get outside. You get to hang out with your buddies. It's a challenging game. But the difference between NHL, and I'm watching these people at the PGA, they got a stationary white ball. When they're doing a tee shot, it's lifted up nicely off the green for them so they can really get a good smack at it. And they turn around and tell everybody, shh, 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 everybody be quiet. He's about to hit the ball. All you can hear are birds chirping in the background, those inconsiderate birds that don't respect the rules of PGA. As everybody, you can hear a pin drop. The crowd must be completely silent while they walk up to a stationary white ball in their khakis and golf shirt to see how far they can hit it. It just doesn't seem like both of them should be in the same. It's almost like a different species of sport is what I should say. These NHL guys, I don't know. Maybe I'm attracted to the mayhem of it, to the testosterone of it. I talk on this show often about how I think the American male has lost so much testosterone. We're watching the soy boys. I know what the food's doing to people. There's no fight left in people. As I'm reporting on the rest of this stuff, I start off the show today talking about one man in Tiananmen Square 30 years ago today who dared to stand up to the entire Chinese military and stood in front of a tank, this thing of bravery. And I see a country now that's just lost that. It's just lost that fight. And then I look at these guys on the. Somehow this all ties together in my brain. I just think, man, so there are some real tough men out there. I will say I did notice. I watched the first game. And again, I don't watch hockey. I wouldn't consider myself some hockey fan, but I was just kind of mesmerized thinking of what the athletic accomplishments of these guys was as I watched them and the fights. I didn't even throw in the fights. The fact that you may actually have to throw your gloves off and brutally pound somebody or defend yourself from a brutal pounding during the thing, which doesn't really seem to be a big deal. You know, the referees come in there and they try to break them apart, but it's part of the game. And I just thought, man, these guys are gladiators. These guys are out there to win, and they are sacrificing their body in the just absolutely tremendous shape. And I think there's just something about that ties into this show of just regaining this fighting spirit, this manly thing. And no disrespect to women out there. Look, I'm a man. I can only really identify with what I think men should be doing at this point. So as weird a leap and segue as this is, you know, I report on these spending things where our Congress can't even cut spending by 2%. We got a bunch of men out there who are allowing our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, we're allowing them to just absolutely financially destroy this country. And we just sit by and do nothing. I guess the hockey thing was just hit me at the right time to realize there are people that are, I don't know, men out there. I don't know. All right, a couple other stories. Got a little bit more time left today. You want to call on the show, 601-879-0002. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
I come into the show every single day with a huge, I do a lot of research. I spend a lot of hours trying to get, you know, down into stories that are not generally covered in other places to really kind of explain things. But I kind of took a tangent today. This Republican Senate that will not even bring a proposed 2% cut to the federal budget to the floor, with neither Mississippi senators supporting it. Cowards that they are, big spenders that they are. It gets me fired up. I spend a lot of time on that. There's all kinds of things I have to talk about today, but I find myself today just looking through headlines, seeing if there's anything interesting else to talk about. I don't have long left in this show, and I got to tell you, here's something that I find interesting. A little change of pace here on the show. What in the world is going on with all the UFO talk these days? Is anybody noticing this? Now, as somebody who is probably genetically predisposed to be suspicious of government and of the media and everything, I mean, it's almost like I've come to learn there's always some narrative behind. There's always information comes to the American people. At this point in our history, information comes to the American people when the powers that be want it to. And suddenly we're seeing, I would say, really pretty hardcore over the last couple of months, we're seeing a lot of stories about UFOs. Now, these have been the things of kooks and conspiracy theorists and tinfoil hat-wearing nut jobs around our country for decades and decades. I don't know where you stand on the UFO issue. I'm fascinated by the stories. My view on UFOs is probably that 95% of what people see in the sky and think they are UFO is military, because they say the military is 40 years ahead of where we think they are. When we see something the military rolls out, they're 40 years ahead of that. And I can believe that. And I think there's a lot of technology we don't know, and I'm sure some of these things are kept secret so that other countries don't get them. And I just think that I think we would be floored by the actual technologies that exist somewhere, particularly within our military. But there are some things that are just not easily explained, and particularly when it comes to pilot sightings and things like that, that I'm fascinated by. Who knows? The one thing about me is in the grand cosmic questions, I'm at least somebody who will say, I don't know for sure. I might believe something. I might have faith that this is the way things are. You know, I might make an educated guess, but I'm always ready to say, I could be completely wrong because I don't know. So I don't know about UFOs, but listen to this. This is, in the past couple of months, there have been many stories like this. According to a report by the New York Post, Mellon, I don't even have his first name, I clipped this out of an article. Mellon says that the U.S. Navy pilots who recently reported seeing UFOs on a near daily basis in 2014 and 15 have legitimate concerns about their time on Earth. In numerous interviews, Navy pilots, again, this is New York Post, Navy pilots have revealed that they have seen UFOs moving at hypersonic speeds, performing acts, quote, beyond the physical limits of a human crew, and emitting, quote, no visible engine or infrared exhaust plumes. Now, I also do believe that in the day and age of drones, a lot of stuff that people are seeing up in the sky, particularly at night when it has to do with lights, are all kinds of just different drones. This has probably made it an easy time to be fooled when you see something, because sometimes I've seen, for the first couple of years of drones, I would forget that people have drones, that, you know, your neighbor, they were expensive, but some people had them, and you would see something in the sky and you go, oh my gosh, what in the world is that? And, you know, be a drone. The story goes on to say the speeds that were being reported by Navy pilots, about 5,000 miles per hour, according to Mellon, were only sustainable for about an hour by an aircraft in the air, and yet these objects would be flying around all day long, the pilot said. Quote, pilots observing these craft are absolutely mystified, and that comes through clearly in their public statements. A Super Hornet pilot once said he almost collided with one of the objects and the fear of UFOs amplified. The pilot described the object he nearly misses as, quote, a sphere encasing a cube. Now, that's interesting to me and odd. Now, I'm wondering about all of these stories that are coming out. I'll give you my suspicion when I get done with this last part. Terry Lovelace. I don't think anybody would want me to pronounce their last name as Lovelace. Lovelace, a 64-year-old lawyer and a former assistant attorney general, has written a book about his experience with UFOs. In 2012, a routine x-ray of my leg found an anomalous bit of metal the size of a fingernail with two tiny wires attached. What followed were horrific nightmares, spontaneous recall, and intrusive thoughts surrounding a 1977 camping trip I took with a friend to Devil's Den State Park in northern Arkansas. That hits close to home, doesn't it? For fear of losing my job and my standing in the legal community, I've kept this secret for 40 years. But the 2012 discovery of this object 1.5 inches deep in my thigh initiated a flood of nightmares I could not control, says the description of his book, Incident at Devil's Den. So this isn't an assistant attorney general. This and there's many of these stories that are pointing to particularly pilots in the Navy. They've changed the name of these things to UAPs. They are called unexplained aerial phenomenon. And there's been a lot of stories about these things with pilots coming out and talking about the capabilities of these things. They've released some, do you call it FLIR? It's like this infrared video that you'll see sometimes released where you can see all of the measurements and stuff within the picture. You can see that it's a military jet tracking something and it will show distance and rate of speed and all that stuff. They've released a lot of these things. Over the past couple of years, this has been happening, but within the last couple of months, it seems like it is really ramping up. And so it causes my spidey sense to go off. And I say, huh, this is stuff they've sought to suppress for years and years, maybe because it was all just nut jobs or just imagining things. I don't know, but it does seem like there's been a concerted effort to cover up some things. Pilots were told never to discuss these things. Pilots' careers could be ruined if they discuss these kinds of things. And yet something unexplained is happening, supposedly. Military explanations of a lot of sightings are so patently bad that it makes you suspicious that maybe something's really going on. But as I said, probably 95% of the things seen in the sky are military top secret stuff that we don't understand, that we don't know is available. So they just put out bogus cover stories, and it seems to have worked for them for years. But now, suddenly, they're talking about military pilots and military programs addressing this UFO effort. Now, my question is, I listened to a podcast called The No Agenda Show, which is really, it's a great podcast. I highly recommend it. Want to give them credit where it's due. They made the point, they said, well, this is just, because major media has been reporting on that, they said, this is just them trying to sell new tickets to the Men in Black movie that's coming out. This is all one giant elaborate, what's called a native ad. These things are littered through mainstream media where they do stories and it ties into one of their advertisers. They put in these things that sound like news stories, but they're actually designed to push people to particular advertisers and sponsors of the radio, of television or whatever the medium is. And this No Agenda Show says they think they're just trying to sell Men in Black tickets. But my suspicion is, or what I'm wondering is it a coincidence that we are suddenly talking about UFOs and bringing pilots out into the public to talk about their experiences? They've been quoted in many mainstream newspapers now to be talking about have former government officials coming out and saying, yes, we've got programs. Yes, we're concerned about these things. Our pilots saw, and again, this was 2014 and 2015 is what's being widely reported now, that they saw these things in the sky almost every day for like a couple of years. They would see these things in the sky, and they're coming out and talking about it. Now, is it a coincidence that the defense contractors, not satisfied with the endless wars, which have lined their pockets for decades now, maybe they've got their eye on that Space Force. And so really all they need to do is somehow put out the talking point that we're being visited and this could be a real danger to the planet. And so what we need immediately is budget-busting Space Force appropriations so that we can combat this perceived threat from these unknown alien visitors. Now, that's just, again, that's just me. I have a genetic skepticism, a genetic cynicism, long developed and honed of watching government abuse and watching propaganda for the better part of the last 20 years. Pardon me for being suspicious, but anyway, be on guard for that. So either we're being visited or the defense contractors have found another gravy train that they're jumping on full force. Stay with me. Be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment, wrapping up another day. Tune in tomorrow from 10 to 11 o'clock for Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. It's the segment you can actually take action on. I just implore people, if we can't take control of our political system, let's at least take control of our health. That's possible. I know that's possible. I've done that. I don't know if I've ever made a change in government at all. I just rail against it, try to get people fired up again. It's going to take all of us. I don't have any juice. God knows the Republican Party's not a fan of this show. But you can actually change your health, and from 10 to 11 o'clock every Wednesday, I'll give you some ideas that you can start doing your own research. Again, I'm not doing it for you on the show. I'm not telling you to come to me and tell me what your problem is. I'll tell you how to fix it. No. Use your own brain. Fix it yourself. We're kind of finishing up on this alien thing. I find it very interesting. I've only got a couple of minutes left in the hour anyway. You know, here's the thing about aliens. I got to tell you. If they're really here and they got any ill will, we're screwed. Any civilization that has gone to the lengths to somehow cross vast expanses of time or bend time, space, whatever it is. I'm a little bit of a nerd on this stuff. I don't understand it, but I like science fiction stuff, and I find these stories interesting. If they got here, if they've got this stuff flying around our planet, they may be, what do you think about the universe? Could there be civilizations out there that are millions of years older than us? You know, you think about the technology that we've been able to develop over the last 100 years, from horse and buggy to stealth jets. It took 100 years. Technology goes fast. What will technology on this earth be like in 1,000,000 years from now? Or in 100,000 years from now? Or even 1,000 years from now? So if some society somewhere else in the cosmos is 10,000 years older than we are, got a 10,000 year running head start. Can you imagine the technology they have? I mean, I hate to tell you, I'm not a quitter. I'm a fighter. I've done a lot of the show today about standing up, about fighting. But I got to tell you, that's going to be a tough one. I don't know exactly how we will fare if the invasion is actually coming, but I've also said the same thing. It's one of the only things that explains what our federal government in Washington, D.C. is doing with this spending. If they know we have imminent alien invasion or imminent destruction by an Earth-ending, extinction-level event asteroid, that is the only thing that might explain the fact that they've spent us into complete bankruptcy and are destroying the financial future of this country. Only if and only if they know that there's actually no future because of some world-ending catastrophe, that's about the only explanation I can give. Outside of that, we should be holding them accountable. That's all the time I got today. Stay tuned today for Doc Livingston and the rest of the WYAB program, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
chance. Stop us now.